Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
To the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline right now to welcome in Tyler White, because it's time for Upset of the Week. Tyler, how are the numbers looking this week? How are we feeling?
We feel great. Great as always. What kind of question is that?
It's what happens when you have the information. You're just ready to take money.
Yeah.
Are you more excited about betting this weekend or playing golf today?
Oh, absolutely betting this weekend.
Oh, please. Come on. You got special company.
Potential to make more money over the weekend than playing golf with you, unfortunately.
Oh, whatever. That's Let me give you my game for upset of the week. Penn State's getting given 3 points to Auburn. So you would think number 22 Penn State would have this one in the bag. They're only a 3-point favorite, and the game is at Auburn. I'm not only putting them to cover, I'm saying Auburn wins straight out. What do you think?
Penn State more tested, certainly. Opening the season with Purdue there, a pretty good Purdue team. And inside our top 30, they're 29th in our power ratings. But a convincing win, 35-31, and they looked really good offensively. Penn State last year was one of the worst rushing teams in all of football. They were in that 118-120 range. Not many teams below them that were worse. And what did James Franklin do? He added the number one running back in the country, Nick Singleton, and the kid looked fantastic last week against Ohio, averaging almost 17 yards a carry. Made pretty quick work in about a half of football, almost 200 yards. He's a stud. He's going to be a name to remember for the next 3 years. And I think ultimately, if he, barring significant injury, will be a first-round pick in the 2025 draft. If they're able to run the ball against Auburn, and that's something that San Jose State was not able to do, they held San Jose State to under 2 yards per carry, 55 total yards on 33 carries. San Jose State did have Cordero, Hawaii's quarterback from last season, who can throw it. They were able to pass the football 280 yards almost through the air. But it was an ugly win against San Jose State. They were a big favorite, 3 touchdowns, 22-point favorite, actually, and almost got beat, let San Jose State hang around. I think that'll be a wake-up call. It'll be a tough win for James Franklin on the road. The 3 is a great number there. I love Auburn plus the 3. There were a couple of 3.5s at some point this week, and I like that. But I think this game is really, really close. Too close to call. I wouldn't play this one, but I do love your Auburn in the points. I think this one comes down to a last-second field goal, last-second drive. Wouldn't surprise me at all if that 3 comes into play in terms of the final score. Our model has Penn State with a slight edge. We have 24.7, 22.9. We made the game Penn State minus 1.7. I think it's a really close game. But I agree with you and Auburn in the points. I think that is the play.
All right, Tyler, I'm going out west. San Diego State was thought by many to be a dark horse to be that best non-Power 5 team going into the season. They haven't really shown that through 2 games. Lost to Arizona on the season opener, then rebounded with a sizable win over Idaho State last week. They take on Utah in Salt Lake City. Utah is a 21-point favorite. I don't know that San Diego State's going to have a chance to beat Utah outright, but that 21 just really sticks out to me, even though Utah rebounded well from their loss against Florida against Southern Utah last week.
Yeah, San Diego State's been a bit of a disappointment on the year. They didn't bring back a lot of production, 54%. They did bring back 10 starters. Most of those were on defense, only 3 on offense. And they, to show you how much they've fallen, preseason we had that game Utah minus 14. So that number is, you know, in, you think of less than a month, the touchdown difference. A lot of that is probably based on how bad San Diego State has played. Utah has probably been about right. We knew that was going to be a tough game against Florida to open the year. But they, you know, obviously you don't take a whole lot from a 70-point win against South Utah. This is a game that I think the number is pretty fair. We made the number 19.3 on Sunday afternoon. We've got a 33-13 projected victory for Utah. This is a game that San Diego State, for them to, you know, change the outlook of their season. That Arizona was one of those, when you looked at San Diego State's schedule preseason, that was supposed to be one that you circled and said was an easy win. It was an Arizona team that had projected season win total of 2.5 wins coming into the year. It was a surprise win in week one. Idaho State, you can't take much from that. But this is a game that I don't want to say it's make or break, but if they get humiliated by Utah really, really tough at home. This could be, it's a team that will go to Boise State in 2 weeks. So they could be looking at 3 losses to start the first 5 games. It's a San Diego State team's season win total was 7.5. If they lose this week, that's in danger. I think Utah at home is still a little frustrated over that Florida game, and I think they're going to look to take some punishment out on anybody that they can. They go to Arizona State next week, so big road game for Utah there. Utah, obviously, to get into a playoff conversation, they couldn't afford to lose to Florida, so they're going to have to impress some people in that resume conversation. And to do that, beating San Diego State by as many points as possible is all they can do to help their cause. I think the number is really fair, though. 3 touchdowns here. I think this one comes down to, the last 5 or 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, at least in terms of the spread. I like Utah to win the game and pretty comfortably. Wouldn't surprise me if you see backups in there. Cameron Rising's probably out most of the fourth quarter. I think San Diego State keeps it close for half, but I think Utah wins this one pretty easily.
Logan?
All right, well, so I'll go stay out west, between number 12 ranked BYU and number 25 Oregon. BYU doesn't do anything great. They're just, as we've come to expect from BYU, they just do everything very solid. That's what they are. They're just a solid football team. A big win in overtime last week against Baylor 26-20. Bo Nix, quarterback for Oregon. I don't trust Bo Nix whatsoever because, A, this game is not being played in Jordan-Hare Stadium down in Auburn. I have no reason to really trust him. He looked very bad against a very, very good Georgia defense. BYU, once again, has a very solid defense. To me, 3.5 points for for Oregon, I get that they are at home. That just seems like too many points to give up against a solid BYU team.
Yeah, you and I were both anti-BYU last week. I still think Baylor should have won that game. Absolutely terrible coaching in the fourth quarter. We'll get past that, though. We have a 31-28 projected score. Oregon minus 2.9 was where we made the number on Sunday. And most of that is just because of where the game's being played. BYU, impressive. Unfortunately for BYU, maybe fortunately this week, they're going to have to beat as many people as badly as possible to have any chance at a playoff. Their only chance for a playoff is to be in the top 4 in the rankings. But due to being an independent, that'll obviously change next year as they join the Big 12. And then there's some flux with the Big 12. But for BYU to have a chance, they're going to have to beat everybody that they can. And it starts with an Oregon team that was humiliated in week 1. And then last week took out some frustration on Eastern Washington. They were a big favorite there. You can't take much from a game like that. It's a BYU team that returns. They're tied for number 1 in returning production with South Florida at 85%. 18 of their 22 starters return. Kalani Sitake has been really good as a road dog. He's 2-2 straight up. He's 3-1 against the spread when he's a touchdown or less underdog. So in those close games, when he travels outside of Utah, he's won half of those, which is pretty tough to do. It's actually the best record outside of Boise State, Miami, and Appalachian State since 2018 are the only teams that have a higher winning percentage than BYU on the road. We made this game minus 2.9. I think that's a pretty fair number. Anytime you're talking about a game that's a field goal spread in this, I think this one comes down to, who has the ball last. It's probably a turnover issue. BYU from the quarterback standpoint, you mentioned Bo Nix and his level of trust. Is he trustworthy? I don't think so. Jaren Hall is the opposite of that. The kid has been fantastic last season, but in that almost 66% completion percentage. Rushed for 300 yards last year. He hasn't been asked to do a whole lot on the ground this year. This weekend, I think, will be an opportunity for him to do that. It's a BYU defense that has been pretty stingy through the air. It's an Oregon team that's been pretty stingy through the air. I give the edge in coaching to BYU. I give the edge in quarterback to BYU. I think BYU keeps it close. I think the number is really good. But if I had to make a choice here, I would absolutely agree with you. I think BYU gets a big statement win and they bump up a couple of places in the poll, and that sets up a pretty easy schedule, at least for the next couple of weeks. It could be talking about a top 8 or top 10 BYU team here in about a month.
Tennessee has Akron on Saturday. The number, latest update I've seen is 47.5. Is when spreads are that big, do you jump on it? Do you stay away from it? How do you approach a spread like that?
Very cautiously. When it opened at 5, my friends at Circa opened that. Jeffrey Benson, you know, when he put a 5 out there, I said it's the largest spread in Tennessee history, so I expect it to be bet down, and it was. They're the only sportsbook in Las Vegas that will take $2,000, $3,000 limit bets on opening lines. Most casinos, $200, $300, $500, and a couple that maybe take a dime on a game. They took three $3,000 bets on Akron at 50 and moved it immediately to 47. It's bounced around that number all week, and rightfully so. It's an Akron team. I have 22 FCS teams that are a touchdown favorite over Akron, and there are 25 other teams that would be anywhere from a 1 to 2 point favorite to a 1 or 2 point underdog to Akron. So almost as many teams that are in that same category as Akron. Basically, Akron is a mid-level FCS team in terms of talent. If we were in European soccer, they would have been relegated years and years ago. It was the highest spread in Tennessee history at 50, and it's still the second highest spread in Tennessee history. You get back to Austin Peay in 2013. Tennessee was a 49-point favorite. They won that game 45-0. This is the seventh time that Tennessee's been favored by 40 or more. They have obviously won all of those. This is a game where Tennessee, in all likelihood, should be up about 47 by the half. I think you try to get as many second and third string guys in as possible. I think the biggest thing, takeaway here is probably, outside of not turning the ball over, is making sure you get everyone out of that game healthy. I think that's the only thing that I would be concerned with. This should be a blow. Tennessee could score 100 points here pretty easily if they wanted to. I think Josh Heupel will have a harder time staying out of the end zone than he will getting into the end zone. It's pretty good place to be as Florida comes in here in just over a week.
Tyler, what else you watching this week, and how can people best find your work?
Yeah, easiest way on Twitter, at BetSmartUS. We simulate every single game. You know, people talk about 10,000 simulations, 50,000. We do those all day, every day. Those are running nonstop, so there's not a number of simulations. We run those constantly because there's always things that come out during the week. There's guys that may or not be there's guys that are questionable, guys that you don't know they're going to be playing. We run those sims all the way up until Saturday morning. It's all college football. It's all NFL. Major League Baseball, hate to say, is on the back burner, but it is what it is. We're inching close. College basketball season will be here before we know it. But right now it's college football, and more college football. But, yeah, any question on any game, just shoot us a follow. Our DMs are open. You don't have to follow us. You can just shoot us a message. You don't have to follow us to ask. If you got a game that you're thinking about, or – you know, if you're a fan of a different team and you want to know our opinion on that game, just shoot us a question. We have all the data, all the information, way more than you ever want. But I'd rather give you way more than you want than maybe what you need. So, Twitter, the easiest way.
Tyler Wyatt's giving the people what they want, and he just said his DMs are open for business. You can slide right in those DMs. He's ready for you.
I just had a text and a DM about golf because you mentioned it. Thanks.
Tyler, we always appreciate the time on Thursdays. Happy betting. We will talk to you again next Thursday.
Absolutely. Let's do it again.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.